Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us that He is all-powerful. Before He gave us the Great Commission, He reminded us that all power had been given unto Him on earth as well as in heaven. No Satan, no number of fallen angels, no power on earth could ever stop the Lord Jesus Christ in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And yet, we have passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, where believers are put under persecution. The work of God keeps on being assaulted, and there are times when we see the success of all these attacks. Churches are falling like tenpins. Seminaries and Bible colleges are dying, and many have actually died. The seminary that we went to for our training is gone. The second seminary had already turned and had become the headquarters of heresies. Many strong, fundamental seminaries are closing down in America because fewer and fewer Christians are now found in America, and even more are not going into the full-time ministry. And because of that, they do not have the funds. Seminaries that used to flourish, where they had thousands of students studying, preparing themselves for ministries, are now empty shells that once upon a time reverberate with the hymns, the praises of many of God's servants in the past. What is wrong? Persecution is part and parcel of our day-to-day life. Last night we already said that there will be difficulties on this earth. For us as Christians, there will be a new brand of difficulty, and that is for the sake of Christ. As believers, there are only two kinds of sufferings. Number one, if it is because of sin in our lives, you and I know from Holy Scriptures that our Heavenly Father is chastising us, disciplining us because we have strayed away, and He wants to steer us back into the right path, to live a life of holiness. The second type is when you seek to live a life of holiness, Satan will redouble his effort and his zeal and his fervency, and he will try his best to make your life as difficult as possible. And that's what we are studying in chapter 3. That was what the Christians in Thessalonica faced in chapter 3. And when the Apostle Paul heard of the afflictions, the persecutions, the tribulations that they were encountering, he was very concerned as a spiritual father. He was very concerned for their faith, for their life of holiness, their witness, their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, they had a very wonderful reputation throughout Macedonia and Achaia. Their faith had been well spoken of, and not only within their immediate provinces, but also beyond in other parts of the Christian world. Many Christians were very encouraged and were strengthened when they heard of the amazing strength of the faith and the love and the hope of the Christians in Thessalonica. However, just as strong a reputation you have in standing up for Christ, the same strength that can be used for the encouragement of fellow believers when you are in the faith can also be turned around and be used by Satan to stumble many. Why do you think Satan do not attack and undermine your ministry when you just graduated from the seminary? Nobody knows you other than your immediate family members and friends. And if you were to stumble and fall at the start of your ministry, the impact of your fall will be very minimal. Very few lives will be devastated. But if you have been in the ministry for 20, 30 years, and many people look up to you, many people see in you an example, a church as an example, an individual Christian, a leader as an example, and then when you stumble and fall, when that church stumbled and fall, when that seminary closed down, the impact will be far, far greater. And that will be Satan's agenda. And that's why Paul was very, very concerned for the faith of the Christians in Thessalonica, because their holiness was under attack. How will Satan do it? Because we live on this earth, and because this body of ours depends upon the food, the water, the environment of this earth to survive, Satan will attack the body. He will never stop. He will attack you. He will take away your health. He will take away your loved ones. He will take away anything that you have a relationship with. The deeper, the stronger relationship, he knows, the deeper the sorrow and the pain. And in moments of pain and sorrow, just like in Israel when they were in the wilderness, murmurings and complainings will arise. And that's where the danger comes. If it is not stopped there and we do not repent of our murmurings and our complainings, whether it is uttered or in our mind or in our heart or in our lives, it is already a transgression. And if we do not nip it in the bud and stop it there, and we let it blossom into an actual act itself, when it comes out of our lips, it is found in our writings, and then it is done with our hands, the damage will be far, far greater than when it is only in our hearts and in our minds. And Paul was very, very concerned for their spiritual well-being, and the bigger picture will be the spiritual well-being of many believers who have heard and be encouraged by the witness and the testimony of the church in Thessalonica. We are in the same boat. The church in Thessalonica never asked to be in this position of being seen as a big brother to encourage others. They just wanted to be holy. That's all they wanted. But their reputation spread far and wide, and it became an encouragement. You seek to be holy. You don't have to do anything to put yourself in the newspaper or anywhere. It will spread. And anyone who wants to also be holy like you, like the church, they will be encouraged. They will be strengthened in the faith. And you know Satan despises people, God's children, who are strengthened in the faith. He hates you. And he will do his utmost to trip you, to stumble you, to make you fall into sin and remain in sin, and he will rejoice. That is the agenda of Satan in your life and in the church. Any church that honors and promotes holiness and Christ and God according to the Holy Scriptures. If you are doing his bidding, if you are promoting Satan in the guise of Christianity, he doesn't care. He will leave you be, and he will continue to promote you in that direction, because that is his delusion. That is the work of what the Bible describes the angel of light, masquerading himself as if he is a servant of God. That is falling into the hand of Satan. And this kind of ministry will continue to grow, and it will become bigger and bigger, because Jesus himself said, "Will I find faith on the earth when I return?" That means conservative, God-honoring, Christ-centered holiness will be very, very rare. Very difficult to find. If you are the kind who go for majority, you are barking up the wrong tree. Throughout scriptures, holiness will always belong to the minority. The Bible tells us Paul's concern for his church, the church that God has used him to found. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, he used this phrase twice. He will mention this phrase again, when he could no longer forbear, in verse 5. When I could no longer forbear, he could not take it anymore. He could not take it, not knowing what is the state and the condition of the Christians in Thessalonica, whom he loved more than his own life, more than his own freedom. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone. We sacrificed our own comfort, because we drew a lot of strength being together, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Mutual encouragement was very, very wonderful to the Apostle Paul. Holding hands together, serving the Lord together, gave him a lot of inner strength. And so he says, we sacrifice this and we send Timothy while we remain alone in Athens, so that he can find out for us the state and the condition of your spiritual well-being in Thessalonica. And so we send Timotheus, our brother, our minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. We'll talk more about this in the second message, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, to make sure that your relationship with God through Christ remain firm and strong and constant, that it will not be shaken, it will not be moved, establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions for yourselves. Know that we are appointed thereunto. This word, moved, is like a dog wagging its tail. That's the literal meaning. You see a dog at the back, that's the tail. Somehow the tail keeps moving. Now that is the word there. Keep on moving, non-stop. That was what the Apostle Paul was afraid of. Move a little bit when we stumble and fall into sin is the battle that we all encounter. But it must not be a continuous, consistent moving like the wagging of a tail of a dog. It doesn't stop. You notice that the whole body of the dog may stand still, but the tail keeps on wagging. Of course, there are dog lovers who say that that is a friendly dog. When you see the tail of a dog wagging, don't be afraid. It may bark very loudly, but the tail is wagging. It is a friendly dog. It will not bite you. Now, I'm no dog lover. Don't take my word for it. You see a dog barking fiercely at you and the tail wagging, and you walk toward the dog and the dog bites you, please don't blame me. I don't like dogs. I mean, not that I don't like dogs. I don't have a dog. I told you before, the only favorite dog is a hot dog. I thought you know that. Correct? Hot dog. I know some of you really like real dogs. Okay, you like the dogs. I don't like the dogs because when you come for church camp, you're going to think of the dog. Some can't come for church camp because nobody will look after the dog. You see, so don't need a dog. I can all come for church camp with peace of mind because dogs, they take your heart. You feel for them. You make them part of your family. So whenever you see your pet dog, you look at the tail. You remember this verse. Don't be moved in your faith, in your devotion to God, like the tail of your pet dog. You remember that when you look at your pet dog. My hot dog, the tail doesn't move. Very good. I just consume it happily. Of course, my wife doesn't like me to eat too much because it's not healthy. But that hot dog doesn't move. The tail of your dog moves. And it's a reminder that you must not move, that's the word, that no man should move like the tail of a dog by these afflictions. Now, what's an affliction? Same word is translated later on in verse 4 as tribulation. It's the same root word. One is a noun, the other one is a verb. But it's the same word. It comes from a tool that was commonly used in the Roman Empire by farmers. It is an instrument that is called tribulum, where they use to separate the corn from the husk. That's what it does. And the act of separating the corn, that is what they want to consume with that which is unwanted, the act of it is called tribulation, tribulation. That's the word. And the Christians borrowed what they have observed in the fields during the Roman Empire, and they use it to illustrate that when Christians, now remember, it is not because of transgression. It's because of the second kind, where God allows this persecution, these afflictions to come into your life because you want to be holy. God is still absolutely sovereign and in control, but he allows Satan to attack your relationships that this body of yours has made. Relationship with possessions, relationship with friends, family members, all these will now be allowed by God for Satan to attack. Because God wants us, you and me, to separate within our soul through the attack of the physical body, the corn and that which is the husk, that which is light, that which is airy, that which is not good for our spiritual well-being. That's what tribulation and afflictions are meant to do, and that is the picture that you and I must always bear in mind. First, you have to establish and make sure that it's not because of transgression. Because of transgression, you stray away from God. It is not for the building up of the faith. It is to steer you back to the right path. But while you're on the right path of holiness, and you suffer difficulties in life, whether it is an illness that may be life-threatening, it could be the loss of a loved one, it could be the loss of health, loss of job, loss of freedom, whatever it may be. Rest assured, it is now time that God has allowed Satan and his minions to separate that which is light and airy in your life, so that that which is solid and good and pure and holy may become clearer, and it will rise to the surface, and only that which is strong will remain in your life. Now that is what tribulation and afflictions are meant to do. And that's what the Apostle Paul was very concerned with, that it will not have the other impact whereby, without proper understanding, they may end up murmuring and complaining, and they may lose their holy witness. Because when they murmur and complain, and then that murmuring and complaining results in action that is transgression, sin, their witness will devastate the faith of many in Macedonia and Achaia, and anyone who have heard of the strength of the faith and the holiness and the love of the Christians in Thessalonica. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know, you know very well, that we are appointed thereof. This is part and parcel of our Christian life. Paul said, you have been taught this. When we came to Thessalonica, we faced persecution. Right from the very beginning, this church was born out of a life of persecution. So you should know very well that when persecution comes your way, you should not be shocked. You should not react and respond in transgression, in sin. First thing you have to do is to ask yourself, look deep into your own soul. Lord, have I sinned against thee, that you have allowed this to come my way? And if you are true to your own soul and your answer is, it is not, you have not done anything that is sinful or wrong against God, and you are now walking in the path of holiness and righteousness, be prepared for the evil one to try to put obstacles in your pathway. And he will do his utmost to trip you and to get you to fall into sin. And he will do so by attacking your body. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it come to pass, and you know. You know that. Be warned. Do not have a wrong understanding of the power of God, whereby you are now shielded from all forms of attack as if you are like Superman, invincible. No kryptonite. That is not reality. Be prepared so that when tribulation comes, please know that your Heavenly Father understands. He has not deserted you. Do not murmur and complain, why me, Lord? Why am I now going through such difficult time? Why me, Lord? All of us will go through. When you desire to live a holy life, sufferings will come. Not only are we called to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for Jesus' sake. Jesus says to us that in the lives of all my children, all my brethren, I mean, all of God's children, the world will see Christ. That's what it means. The world will see Christ by the way that you live. Your children will see Christ by the way that you live. Your parents will see Christ by the way that you live. Your friends, your colleagues, including your enemies, will see Christ by the way that you live. That's what we are here for. To tell the world that Jesus Christ is still on this earth. Look at my life and you will find Christ. And Jesus promised us that as long as I'm in this world, I will remain the light to a world that is still in spiritual darkness and is still dying in sin. And that's why it is so important that you live the life of holiness, because that's Christ that you are showing to the world. That was Christ that the church in Thessalonica was telling and showing to the whole world. And to Christians, they will be encouraged. To sinners, they will become saints. That is the significance and the purpose of the Christians in Thessalonica. And Paul did not want them to lose this great eternal impact and significance. And that is your life too. And that is the life of Calvary Pandan too. If we stumble and fall, the fall will be loud. The crash will be devastating. Many people look up to you and to this church. You didn't ask for it. They didn't ask for it. The church in Thessalonica never asked for it. But that is the reality. And that is our reality. And we cannot fail God. We cannot fail many of God's people, not only in Singapore, but every gospel stations that we have been given the honor and the privilege to have a part in. Do you know that your tithe and offering have been used to build churches and colleges in Africa, in Ethiopia, in Kenya, in Tanzania, in Rwanda? Do you realize that? Do you realize that your support of the Far Eastern Bible College, where many students from all over the world go there to study, and your tithe and offering for the support of the Bible College with your prayer and your encouragement have become a great blessing to many who are trained, and then they in turn have become pastors with the training of the study of God's word they received in the Bible College. And now through their congregation, another few tens, hundreds, you do not know how many. The impact is global, is far-reaching. You can't even imagine. And then the internet. Do you know how many people from different parts of the world, some countries that we have never even heard of, who log into our internet and they receive the RPG, the reading, the messages, and they ask for more. And when the website is down, they write to us, what happened? Our weekly dosage of the reading of God's word, is now not there. Please put your website back on. You just simply do not know the impact that this church can have, your life can have, your tithe, your offering, your prayers can have. It's far beyond what you could even imagine. And that is only one country. Australia. Many other countries, especially third world countries, first world countries included. Imagine this. Third world before, now we can help people in first world country, because many of them are also dying in sin. Just because they're in first world doesn't mean that they are Christians. Christianity may have come from that part of the world a long time ago, from the West. But now the West is dying, is dead. You go to Europe, Christianity is dead. Britain is dead. America is dying. Where else? So now we have to bring the gospel back to them. When you and I fall, when this church falls, when this church becomes a victim and stumble, the crash will be loud. And so be prepared for sufferings when they come. The Lord knows the measure and the strength of our faith. God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to endure. You have to know this. And when you are being attacked in the physical, please understand that it is not the body that is the issue, that is the target. The target is your faith, not your body. Your body may feel the pain, your body may feel the emotion, the struggle. But the real attack is your faith, your trust in God, your dependence upon God. Your desire for holiness must not wane. It must not diminish. Why do you think God tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but always against principalities? For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, again Paul says, we have to send. We could not take it. We were worried, we were concerned for your spiritual state and well-being. So I sent to know your faith. That's what it is. Paul knew, I sent to know your faith. I want to know what your faith is. The physical attack, the physical body, this body of ours, you and I know, will not last forever on this earth. Whether you live 800, 900 years, this body is not designed for heaven. This body is not the body that God will bring with us to heaven. This body will be left behind. But as long as we are on this earth to serve the Lord, this is the only body that is suitable for witness. And therefore, this body is important that you and I make sure that it is kept holy. This is the body that Satan will attack, which in turn is designed to attack the real, and that is your faith. That is where the real attack is. The first thing we said to our lawyers, when we have decided to go to court, that is FEBC, when FEBC received the suit from the lawyer of Life Church, we prayed for God's direction and guidance, and this lawyer's name came up, Mr. Ang Ching Hock. We did not know that he was from Allen and Gledhill, one of the biggest law firm in Singapore. We did not know all these things. We only knew of his name because of Professor Tan, who gave us his name because Professor Tan taught him. He said that this would be a good man to help FEBC. And so we prayed and we asked him, because he was also the classmate of our brother Leonard. And so Leonard got in touch with him. And so he says that he's agreeable to first meet with us, because he has to bring this case to his board, to his partners, whether they would want to take our case. And so we discuss among ourselves as the board of directors. And so the first thing that we all have to agree upon is, we must never win at all costs. No matter what happens, we must never tell lies. We must conduct ourselves in a manner that is Christ-honoring, no matter what. Because if we sin against God and we do anything that is against the teaching of God's word, even though we win in the court of man, we have already lost. And that was the common perspective and position that we had. And so we shared this with the lawyer before he presented our case to his boss, whether they will take up our cause to help us fight for the life and the survival and for the home for FEBC. We just had lunch with them to thank them for their help these past many, many years. We gave them books, Christian books, of course, three of them. And they shared with us. And he shared from his heart. He said that we are the best clients they've ever had. They've never experienced us before. And we thank God for the Christian witness that we were able to bear and to share with them. They were not Christians. Maybe one of them is. I think he is, because he sent Christmas card and he used Christian greetings. But two of them are not. Mr. Hung Ching Hock is not. And so we're trying to share the gospel with him, hoping that he will become a Christian. Because we must never forget that the attack may be physical, but the real attack is your faith. Because we are Christians. Satan does not mind if you tell people who you are. Because your name and my name will not save a soul. Satan will mind when you tell people who Christ is. And whenever you live a life of holiness, that's exactly what you are doing. You are telling people, look at my life and you will find Christ. That's the message, and that message you can't stand. And that is the message he will try to snuff out. He's trying to cover up in your life. And the way to cover that up is to get you to sin. To get you to sin. And he will do all things possible to try to get you and me to sin. Because when sin comes, holiness is covered up. It's gone. Because holiness is no sin in your life. When there is sin, you repent of your sin. That's holiness. Holiness is the absence of sin. Any known sin that you know, whether it is overt or covert, whatever it is, whether it's inside you or whether it is seen, you have to get rid of it. The moment you have it, holiness is gone. Whether you have it in your mind, people can't see it. God sees, God knows. And God How can you expect him to use a vessel that is unclean, full of sin? God will not and cannot use a vessel full of sin. Oh, God had used sinful people, but God will punish the sinful people even though God may use him for his own glory and for his own agenda, because that's how powerful God is. But for us as God's children, if God were to continue to bless our ministry and use us while we are in sin, God will be encouraging us to sin more. Why do you think God tells us that if any of you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not even hear your prayers? Don't talk about using you. I won't even hear you. Psalm 66 verse 18 made that very clear. God wants to use us to be his witnesses, because that has been his design. That has been his commission. Go ye into the world and tell them who Jesus Christ is by your life and your words. More by your life than your words. Because when you tell them about the love of Christ, when you tell them about the power of the blood of Christ that can transform a sinner into the saint, you are the walking example. You are the walking testimony. Just as the Christians in Thessalonica, they were the walking examples and testimonies. And that's what God wants us to be. But the moment you tell people, look at my life and you will find Christ, and then you're covered with sin. Christ is not covered with sin. And Satan will love that kind of image of Christ, covered with sin, covered with covetousness, covered with all the wrongs that you find in many, many parts and brands of Christianity today. He loves that kind of distortion of Christianity, of Christ, because there is no greater sinner to Satan than a sinner who thinks he is a saint. Because a sinner who thinks he's a saint is very convicted in living the life of a false Christ. And he will do it very effectively because he's very sincere. And that's what you find in Roman Catholicism, that's what you find in Charismatism, and that's what you find in many brands and shades of BPism. And we have to bring BP in, because we are now many different shades. We may all have the same name, Bible Presbyterian, but you and I know that we are not the Bible Presbyterian of old any longer. We are under attack and assault, not just in the body, in the physical realm, but the real battle is our faith. As a church and as individuals. And so Paul says, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor in your life is in vain. That it was all for nothing. That the church in Thessalonica was all for nothing. That it was never truly saved or born again. That the whole witness of the church in Thessalonica had been all for nothing. It was only just a spark of flesh in the pan. And it's all over. It is not a light that keeps on burning brightly. It's just a very hot spark. It was here and then it was gone. And Paul was very concerned that that is not the case in the church in Thessalonica. But now when he received news from Timothy who went there and who returned, but now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. Remember verse 3? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. Same, faith and charity. That ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. And so Paul was very, very thankful to God and very encouraged that though they faced persecution and afflictions, they continued to love, to serve, to trust in God, no matter what. No matter what. Is this your experience? I pray that it is. Is this your desire? I pray that it is too. That you will not give up and respond in sin, but that you will hold on to your faith and your love for the Lord no matter what happened. How difficult our relationships are when our body breaks apart, falls apart, grows old. For whatever it is a time for God to take away the light, the airy, and to help us hold on to that which is heavy, which is strong, which is good, which is pure, that will help the image of Jesus Christ to become clearer and clearer when that which is airy and like the separation of the corn from the husk. Let the husk go and continue to trust in the Lord even when this physical body begins to decay and fall apart. And no matter how much pain you may feel inside, do not react and respond in transgression. Because God knows, and Satan knows, that it's not just a moment attack. It has to be a continuous assault. The lawsuit lasted for years. Some of our struggles and afflictions may last a lifetime. It is not just a momentary attack. Because the longer the attack, the greater the success. Because how strong can you be? How steadfast can you stand and hold on to your faith and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's where the Apostle Paul encouraged the Christians in Thessalonica from verse 7 to verse 9. You must not be moved, no matter what. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all your affliction and distress by your faith. Paul was comforted. Not only Paul, but all those who knew of the faith and the love of the Christians in Thessalonica were also comforted and encouraged. If they can hold on to the faith, therefore when we go through sufferings, I must also hold on. Because they did it. They showed me how to do it. They did it. And they became our encouragement. Paul says, we were comforted over all of you in our affliction and distress because of your faith. You see this? We were comforted over you in all our affliction, our distress, because of your faith. You see this? Paul, Silas, and Timothy continued to face persecution in Athens. It did not stop. But he was encouraged because it was worth it to see that our sufferings for Jesus Christ was not in vain. Many lives were strengthened. Many believers' faith were deepened. And Paul says, when news came that you continue to hold on to your faith, Paul says, we found renewed strength to continue in the face of afflictions, persecutions, because Paul used the word distress as well. One step further than just simply affliction is the word distress. The word distress literally means the bending of a person's arm. You know what that is, right? You twist a person's arm and you keep on bending until the hurt becomes so excruciating. So it's not just an affliction, but a continuous, unending pain. And Paul says it's worth it all. He was not there for money. He was not there for man's praise, man's glory. Paul says we were encouraged when the faith of believers are genuine and real. We do not mind working hard day and night as pastors, as elders. We do not mind making all the sacrifices if the faith of the members and friends who come for worship and service in Calvary Pandan remain firm and strong and true to the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you are in the faith, the encouragement that you can give to our hearts as board of elders, knowing full well that one day we have to give an account to God for every one of you, how you have been looked after, how your spiritual life had been looked after. We know we have to answer to God. Every time there is an increase in number, every time one additional member joins the congregation, there is another soul that we have to look after, another soul that we have to give an account to God for one day. And the encouragement that keeps us going no matter what, no matter how difficult, how exhausting it is to see your faith, is to see your life of holiness. And that's why when we have members who stumble and fall, when we have members who stray away and become lovers of the world, the pain that we feel inside is more than just the pain. It can also be the discouragement. And sometimes we ask ourselves, what is the point? Lord, what is the point? What is the purpose? Lord, if I'm such a big failure, Lord, please replace me and find someone who can take care of your children. They are your children, Lord, not ours. Your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for each and every one of them. And if we are so terrible in failing to look after them because we hardly see any growth. Lord, replace us. Find someone who can do a better job. That's our cry. That's what we desire for you. That you may grow spiritually. And we are prepared to do whatever it takes, just like Paul was prepared to do whatever it takes, even in the face of afflictions and persecution. We face perhaps less than 10% of what the Apostle Paul had to endure. Paul shared with us a little bit of what he had to endure in 2 Corinthians. But what we have to endure in taking care of the flock is only a lawsuit, a lot of verbal attacks, a lot of name callings. People call us all kinds of names, heretics, bigots, liars, all sorts. Nothing compared to what the Apostle Paul had to go through. The scourging, the stoning, the imprisonment, the shipwrecks, the ostracism. And on top of that, all the cares and the concerns for the many churches that God continued to use him to found. The burden was so overwhelming that God had to give Paul much revelations even to bring him into the third heaven. But to keep him humble, God gave him a thorn in his side so that he will not become proud and fall into sin himself. Because imagine the Apostle Paul stumbled and fall into sin. Imagine how many, many hundreds, if not thousands of Christians all over Europe at that time who look up to him, they will also stumble and fall with him. But when he was able to endure, the same number of people became stronger in the faith. Just as Paul himself said, you give us strength to endure afflictions as well as distress because of your faith. It was worth it to see your life grow and mature in the Lord. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. So the attack will be consistent. It will be constant. And you and I have to stand fast like a rock, unmovable in our faith, in our trust in the Lord. And no matter what Satan may do to me, this body, he may take everything and everyone in my life away from me, but I must not stop believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I must never stop living a holy life. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy in your sakes before our God. So Paul shared that the joy that he has in his heart and his soul in the face of the persecution, the knowledge to know that the Christians in Thessalonica, that church that was founded out of the seed of persecution, and now they continue to face persecution, they are holding on to their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ while the Apostle Paul was alive. Now, of course, after Paul had been called home to glory, who took over that church? We do not know. Who was the pastor? We do not know. We also do not know when the church in Thessalonica disappeared from the face of this earth. You go there now, the guide will bring you to a place where they thought is the church, or was where the church once located, and all you can see would be a pile of ruins. That's it. A pile of ruins. You go there and you see rocks. No more souls, no more lives. Whatever building that they had in the past, that they used to assemble, to congregate, to worship, are now just ruins. The building that we have back home in 201 Pandan Gardens will never and must never be the focus. We look after it, we renovated it, only to provide an environment for your spiritual well-being and worship and service and growth. That's it. You will always be the focus. Your life will always be the focus. Your spiritual well-being will always be the focus. And when you are strong in the Lord, when you live a life of holiness, you give us the greatest joy to help us keep on serving. No matter how many hours we poured into it, it's worth it all to see your life grow, to see the image of Jesus Christ in you become brighter and clearer with every passing day. The Bible studies, the many hours typing, preparing, praying, teaching, preaching, with it all. No matter how exhausting it is, the only goal is to see you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a life of holiness, because we know that your holiness will continue to come under assault. He will attack the body, but the real attack is your faith. And the attack is not going to be a flash in the pan. It will be a persistent, continuous, month after month, year after year attack. Do not be moved. Do not be like the tail of the dog. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Stop. And come back to the Lord and remain firm and steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Have you heard of this pine called the bristlecone pine? It's a very unusual pine. It's not like many pine trees that you find in the world. It is said that it is grown way up high in the mountains, sometimes 1 to 2 miles above sea level. And in that thin air environment, the pine tree flourish. And it could even last for thousands of years, according to some of these botanists who studied this pine. And they asked themselves why. And so some of them will take this pine tree, the seed of it, and bring it down to an environment that is conducive for other trees to grow, that is rich, that is strong. And so they tried it. And these bristlecone pine tree will grow and flourish. And it will grow and flourish very fast, but it dies also just as fast. It doesn't last. But that kind of bristlecone pine tree that are planted in the mountains, 1-2 miles above, buffeted by all the natural environments that you could imagine, the heat, the snow, the storm, the wind, the sun, and the tree keep on growing stronger and stronger. But the skin is very thin, it's not thick bark. Very thin. And so they dissected it and they tried to find out why. And then they realized it is because of the difficult environment that caused this bristlecone pine tree to flourish and to be strong and to live thousands of years. Put them in a comfortable environment that is full of nutrient in the soil. They will flourish for a while, but they will die just as fast. Your faith, your life in Christ is like that bristlecone pine. There is no other way that the image of Jesus Christ can become brighter and clearer in your life and in my life outside of persecution, the harshness and the hardness to separate the light and the airy from your life and in my life, so that what remains will be that which is pure, holy, and good for the Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness before God is all that God expects from us on this earth before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Is this your heart's desire? We pray that it will be. I'd like to share with you a poem. Okay? A poem regarding tribulation. It's written by George Wither, an English poet. Till from the straw the flail the corn doth beat, until the chaff be purged from the wheat. Yea, till the meal the grains in pieces tear, the richness of the flour will scarce appear. So, till man's person's great afflictions touch, if worth be found, their worth is not so much. Because like wheat in straw, they have not yet that value which in threshing they may get. For till the bruising flails of God's corrections have threshed out of us our vain affections, till those corruptions which do misbecome us are by thy sacred spirit winnowed from us, until from us the straw of worldly treasures, to all the dusty chaff of empty pleasures, yea, till his flail upon us he doth lay, to thresh the husk of this our flesh away, and leave the soul uncovered, nay, yet more, till God shall make our very spirit poor, we shall not up to highest wealth aspire, but then we shall, and that is my desire. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, create in all of us a new heart, O Lord, through Christ Jesus, as you have done when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as our Savior. And this life of holiness, O Lord, is not a life of option, But it is the work of thy Holy Spirit who indwell us, that all who name the name of Jesus Christ will be holy. And we pray, Father, that you will help us, therefore, to be holy, for thou art holy. For this desire for holiness is not of man, for it is of God. And we pray, Father, that all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and as our Savior may have and must have this desire for holiness as the evidence of our salvation. May thy Holy Spirit continue to speak to every heart, and may the word of God continue to sanctify our hearts and our minds, that we may all become holy for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.